broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that ever should use to use continues. This is hour two. This is the broadcast for, what is it already, August 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Kurt Crosby's with me. We got a lot to discuss, very little time to get it done. A witness has come forward, ladies and gentlemen, to back up a sexual assault allegation against CNN far-left pundit, or anchor, if you will, Don Lemon. Yeah. That's a report from Fox News, Nolte article about it in Breitbart, Kurt.
Yes, and when I look at this story, I don't think this is going to have legs simply because, this is the insider boy's boy, I guess you could call him. I've never watched Don Lemon. And yet, when you read this story, you just think, man, these kind of people that they choose for, I guess you could say, to be the news people or whatever, so many of them are, let's just say they're lacking in character in many ways, in my opinion, Sam.
And yeah, you're right about that.
Oh, boy. They say, before we go any further in this story, they say a witness has come forward to back up sexual assault allegation against the CNN far-left pundit slash anchor, Don Lemon. That's according to Fox News. They say it's important to point out that in the two-plus year history of the Me Too movement, a witness to the actual alleged assault has been a rare thing indeed, and this is a witness willing to go on the record. So, the bottom line with the Don Lemon thing is they were basically at a place where they go to drink after you've been out drinking, they say.
Say that again?
Well, yeah, it's
you go to you've been out drinking. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, so it's a place that basically stays open later, so that even if you went to a restaurant and you were drinking or whatever, then you that thing closes down. So then you got to go to a late night spot, and this is just some basic math. At least when you're a kid, or when you're telling your children, teenagers, or whatever, after midnight or whatever, you got troubles, you got to be home. But Don Lemon didn't follow that deal. He was out drinking way late in the night, so you throw in alcohol and being out late, and then apparently it's just stuff you really can't even read on the radio. But the bottom line is there's a witness that says that he did these evil things. And what I think is amazing, Sam, is at least if I were to ask you, do you think this guy, Don Lemon's going to have to pay for this? Do you think he'll be held accountable?
Not a chance on earth, Kurt. If the conservatives make enough to do about it, then he might get, paused for a little bit, come back at more prestigious position, something like that, pull him out of the news for a little bit, then have him come back. I mean, who knows how it'll go down. But I will say this, the double standard is highlighted. If this was a Donald Trump, or this was maybe a Steve King, or maybe a Mike Pence, or Mike Lee, or a Rand Paul, this would be viral, top of the news, wall-to-wall coverage. But when it's one of their own, when it's Don Lemon, it's like not mentioned hardly at all. And that's the first thing that I see about this, is that, where's the, they mock Mike Pence for saying he won't go out with a woman alone without his wife present, in other words, he just won't do it. they mock him for that. And then just Don Lemon, they just simply ignore. Where's the Me Too movement when you need them? Silent. Where's the feminist movement when you need them? Silent. Where's the? And it just shows how disingenuous a lot of these people are. They give a pass to Bill Clinton. They're now giving a pass to Don Lemon. And what's interesting to me, Curtis, I don't know how they decide who to give a pass to and who to barbecue. Jeffrey Epstein got barbecued, but only later. What made that change? What let that happen? Why would we protect a Jeffrey for literally decades and then out him? Why are we protecting a Don Lemon in this case? And there's a method to the madness somewhere, Kurt, but I don't understand what their agenda is.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. Some would say, well, they've got some central control that does things. I think you've got certain kind of big shots and leaders, but you've got others who want to be the big shots and leaders. And so it kind of just depends on, you know, who you're pals with. That's why you want to be very careful, especially around like the Clintons, where the body count continues to grow, in my opinion, with the Epstein thing. That's just the way it is, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, and there's certainly a method to the madness. I don't know, you know, when somebody's outed versus when they're protected, or what the rules to the jungle is the best way I can describe it. I don't know what the rules of the jungle are because I'm not in the jungle, Kurt. But what I know is there's obviously a method to the madness, though. You know, some of these sexual predators have been doing what they've done for decades, and everybody's turned a blind eye. Then all of a sudden now they decide that they're going to make it front and center, top news, and that it's so critical. But they don't do it to everybody the same. And so it's interesting. For example, Katy Perry literally, as far as I understand, showed a, you know, man's private parts to some people, some guests at a party or whatever else, and this guy was really mad about Katy Perry doing this or whatever else. And I just think, okay, well, that's an opposite scenario, but just as egregious, just as wrong, just as immoral, just as immodest, just as unkind, whatever words you want to throw in there. But yet, I don't see, you know, the Me Too movement going ballistic about that either, Kurt.
Good point. Yeah. That's right. In fact, you'll hardly even see it anywhere when they don't want a story to go anywhere, and yet if they do want to go somewhere with it, the AP will get it, and every news outlet will tout it from sea to shining sea and beyond. You know.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the news wire gets it every time, almost, whether they run with it or not. What I don't know, Kurt, is some pecking order that helps them decide to run with it. What is that? How do the news media folks know when to run with something versus when not to? But they're all in sync with very few exceptions.
Well, it seems like so many times it's the AP that does it, Sam, because you'll see these stories that are, you know, say they're all sourced from CNN, but then the AP will pick it up and push it. Yet a story like this that we were just talking about, they might get like a Breitbart start or something like that, and they're just not going to get picked up and pushed, you know, to the thousands of places that the AP does. There's pushing.
Yeah. Very interesting and scary that they have that much dictatorial control over the news. But you know what?
Hey, just a couple of little points I wanted to make real quick. On last hour, we talked about the Romney thing there with his so-called disagreement with the president, where he's basically saying, hey, the president shouldn't be treating Putin and Kim like this. They should be censured or whatever, instead of glorified or helped or whatever. And I think maybe Mitt Romney kind of forgot that, you know, you catch more, flies with honey than you do with vinegar or whatever. If you're nice to people, typically, you know, they're kind of nice back. And I think the president is showing that as he tries to deal with some of the toughest guys like the Putins and the Kims, you know, don't you think?
Well, and what good is a censure or some of these other supposedly mechanisms we use to deal with these kingmakers or whatever, what do we expect to happen? Haven't we tried that for literally decades to no avail already?
Well, and it seems like the way the president goes about it is he says, hey, let's do business. Let's, you know, do business in a fair way. You're going to, if you're going to charge us tariffs, we'll charge you tariffs. If you're not, we won't. And we'll, you know, if you're going to sell us $100 billion worth of stuff, we'll try to sell you $100 billion worth of stuff. And, you know, it just seemed like it's a smart way to move forward in, you know, connecting countries.
And sadly, they mock him for that, and they act like we ought to just be rip-off nation forever, Kurt.
Good point, Sam.
I don't know what to think about their deal. Hey, there's a big detail about Mike Lee, which is kind of an interesting twist. Mike Lee, you know, we think of him as a good guy. He's done a lot of good, but he's kind of having a little bit of trouble when it comes to Google, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam. This Breitbart piece, I wasn't aware of. You know what has gone on here, and so there's a pretty good detail on it. Let's talk about it.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll break down the piece, but it's very interesting. This is what I mean by it's hard to know who stands for what and the whole details about what somebody works on. You never know until you dig into it. We'll explain in a second. Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
What are you talking about? Google, Mike Lee? Mike Lee, not a favorite fan of Google in the past, but yet buddying up with Google now? Well, Tucker Carlson, ladies and gentlemen, examined Senator Mike Lee's evolution on Google. Maybe it's every bit as corrupt as it seems, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, and this piece from Breitbart says that... During the primetime Fox News Channel program, Tucker Carlson offered an assessment of Senator Mike Lee's evolution on Google. If you don't know who Mike Lee is, he's a Republican of Utah, one of our, typically one of our favorites. We've met with him, and, you know, he's at least seemed to be a pretty good guy. But anyway, according to the Tucker Carlson Tonight host, Lee was once a staunch critic of the tech giant, We're talking about Google. However, in recent years, he's changed his attitude toward Google. In the transcript, they say it was just a few years ago that Utah Senator Mike Lee was a persistent critic of Google. In 2011, Lee grilled then-CEO Eric Schmidt at a congressional antitrust hearing. Before joining the Senate, Lee pushed for a law that would have banned Google's largest source of revenue. That would be keyword-based advertising. Lee also egged on antitrust investigations of big tech and then accused the FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission, of going too easy on powerful companies. And this author from Breitbart says, and good for him. But he says, fast forward to today. Today, Mike Lee is one of Google's chief allies in Congress, maybe its biggest ally in the Republican Party. Lee has questioned whether Congress should even bother with antitrust investigations of tech companies. Lee has introduced legislation that would make it harder for the government to block corporate mergers. He's complained about the EU imposing fines on Google for its behavior. Lee even came on this program, that's the Tucker Carlson program, and told that conservatives shouldn't worry about Google or other tech companies silencing conservative speech online. And this author says, what happened? Why the change? Well, he says it's possible that Mike Lee just woke up one morning and decided that his previous views had been wrong, maybe. And yet, evidence compiled by the Google Transparency Project suggests there may have been other factors at play here. They say starting in 2013, Google spent millions of dollars rolling out its high-speed internet service, Google Fiber, in both Provo and Salt Lake City, Utah. In 2015, Google hosted a high-profile fundraiser for Lee at its Silicon Valley law firm. The fundraiser got a lot of attention, so Google backed out, but the fundraiser itself went ahead and Lee received a sizable donation from Google's Political Action Committee. Ever since that fundraiser and the money he took, Lee's interest in having the FTC investigate tech companies seems to have completely evaporated. Google knows there's more to politics than just donations, so in 2017, they hired a close ally of Lee's to manage the company's relationship with conservatives. The Internet Association, by the way, that's a trade group of which Google's a part, hired away Mike Lee's senior counsel from the Senate Judiciary Committee. Google also collaborated with the Heritage Foundation and American Enterprise Institute, two of Washington's biggest conservative think tanks. They know how to play the game, don't they, Sam? I mean, I wish I couldn't say that everybody can be bought, but man, it sure seems like almost everybody has a price. The article continues, says the message they pushed was that Google and other tech companies or monopolies are really something conservatives ought to celebrate. These companies are triumphs of the free market. We should be grateful for them. And worrying about their growing power and the ways that they use their power is somehow socialist and un-American. Of course, Google itself is socialist and un-American, so the argument never really made sense, but Mike Lee bought it completely. Final couple of sentences from the Breitbart piece says, when Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg came before Congress last year, he asked them only at the softest of softball questions. We're talking about Mike Lee's questions. And a month later, Facebook announced it would build a $750 million data center in Utah. This author says, a coincidence? Maybe it is a coincidence, or maybe it's every bit as corrupt as it seems. We asked Senator Lee to come on to explain what exactly happened. He declined. we'll keep asking until he reconsiders.
And this is an example, Kurt, where it's hard to know if Breitbart just got sour grapes. It's hard to know, hey, is that what bringing big tech to Utah is all about? Is it corrupt? Is it Mike Lee sees the writing on the wall and says, hey, you know, they're going to build this center. The only question is where. If I can, you know, reach out for my constituents, that's good. I don't know all the answers. I'm just saying there's a lot of questions there. And really, at some point, you got to kind of get into Lee's heart and head, kind of decide. And that's part of the problem when we break down some of these news stories. It appears that we just might be attacking people. But what we're really looking for, and I think the article at the end explains what we're looking for, Kurt. What does it say right at the end? It says, we invited Mike Lee to come on to explain, you know, exactly what happened so we can kind of understand it a little bit. And Mike Lee declined. But that just shows that Breitbart's just not out to do a hit piece on Mike Lee. They are out to try to understand what's going on and try to say, hey, how does this work? Or what makes sense here, and how can we understand it in a way that's meaningful so we don't just believe it's corruption? And when these senators and congressmen don't take the time to communicate with the public, it just doesn't go well.
Well, and it, I mean, frankly, Sam, it just doesn't pass the smell test. Here, you know, when you got him being such an opponent of, you know, Google's, you know, ways, if you will, before, and then, you know, they start handing him out big money, and all of a sudden he just changes his tune. You just got to ask yourself what happened, and, you know, the sad thing is we've seen it happen so many times before, in so many cases, haven't we?
We have, and then part of the other real, honest, fair questions to ask about this is this. You know, is Mike Lee just steamrolled by this? In other words, you know, we want to blame it on one man, but I find 9 times out of 10, when these complicated things go down, you can't blame it all on Donald Trump. You can't blame it all on Mike Lee. You can't blame it all on one individual, necessarily. Now, that doesn't change that they may have culpable actions in the discussion. I don't know in every case. But what I'm saying is oftentimes when I find the story or I get the goods on a given story, I find it's not as simple as it seems. Things aren't so black and white oftentimes. And I'm not defending Mike Lee, and I'm not trying to get him off the hook. But what I am saying is oftentimes, in the Ron Paul example we use often, Kurt, applies here. You know, we wanted Richard Mack to run for office, and he did. A lot of us patriots. And then we wanted Ron Paul to endorse Richard Mack, and Ron would not. And we couldn't figure out why. We finally heard the answer, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right. We heard that, you know, basically, if he was going to run as a Republican or continue on the Republican Party there in Texas, he had to make a deal to support any Republican incumbent. So even though Sheriff Mack, I think, would have been his choice for that particular seat, since there was a Republican incumbent, Ron Paul had to, you know, basically support that guy.
And not only that guy, but agree to support a slate of Republican incumbents, as far as I understood, across the board in the state of Texas, right?
As far as I understand, that was the way it is.
Yeah. And I just look at that and go, you know, why would Ron Paul, one of the guys that I've kind of held his integrity above many, many, many others through the years, why would Ron Paul do a thing like that? And you begin to understand that at some point, you know, we don't want to compromise, but at some point, when do I believe I'm furthering my cause? When do I believe it's legitimate to do such things? So that's kind of the question. Our prayers are with Mike Lee that he comes to his senses and he can protect us from what I believe to be evil Google in many ways. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
breaking news is billionaire, conservative activist, and philanthropist David Koch has died at the age of 79. Koch and his older brother Charles own the Nebraska-based energy and chemical company Koch Industries. Since 1983, David stepped away from running the company last year because of failing health. The Koch brothers, best known for building a huge network of conservative donors. Again, David Koch has died at 93. As he considers giving President Trump a primary challenge, former Republican governor of South Carolina Mark Sanford is pointing to overspending and the federal deficit.
We now have a $22-plus trillion national debt. We've never had as high a debt before in our country's history.
He was speaking on Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
From Affirm Films, Provident Films, and the Kendrick Brothers comes Overcomer. John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What are you allowed to define you? When you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective. You say I am
Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shirer, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters this Friday. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
The G7 summit begins tomorrow in southwest France. President Trump will be in attendance, and the French President Emmanuel Macron has issued a call for members of the summit to discuss the issue of the record-breaking fires burning in the Amazon rainforest. He calls it an international crisis, and NASA Earth scientist Dr. Doug Morton says he's correct.
The Amazon is a critical resource, a harbor of biodiversity, and a storage of carbon. When it burns, that carbon is released to the atmosphere. It changes air quality for people near and far, and it changes our planet by adding greenhouse gases and exacerbating the problems of climate change.
He was speaking to NBC News. Brazil's president claims his political adversaries have been setting those fires. Well, Democratic Representative Seth Moulton is out of the race for the White House. He's expected to make it official with a speech at the DNC summer meeting today in San Francisco. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Switching gears, Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby on your radio. You know, we talked about this Greenland deal by Donald Trump. We wanted to buy Greenland, got shut down. Now the liberals are saying Donald's not taking the response too well. But the headline says, Greenland, new deal, Donald Trump promises no high-rise tower in the Arctic. Kirk, you want to respond to that one? Okay, we'll work on getting Kirk back. Anyway, I find that kind of fascinating. Trump promises no high-rise tower in the Arctic, whatever that means. You know, I guess they just think Donald's just going to build everything everywhere. You know, but I don't really see that as something critical. Nevertheless, I don't know if they're going to let Donald buy Greenland in the first place, you know. Kind of a weird deal. I guess there's a new on and out. U.S. may still be hunting Afghan ghost soldiers. And this, in my opinion, story is scary because what is a ghost soldier? Answer, as far as I can tell, there's funding going to places where there's not even a real soldier. Right? Why would the U.S. be funding a soldier in the first place? Right? That's my question. But if U.S. may be funding Afghan ghost soldiers, this is an example where I don't know why we're funding the soldiers in the first place, but then we're funding ghost soldiers, soldiers that don't even exist, maybe soldiers that are already dead. or soldiers that have already gone home. It reminds me of how fraudsters take someone's social security number or voting record and just jump in those shoes of a dead person or of a whatever, a disabled person or something. You know, you get these ghost soldiers, and it's all about the racket of money. It's all about how they're going to bring big, big money to the table, as far as I can tell, and just, you know, fleece the U.S. taxpayers. Now, U.N. official says disastrous corruption by aid agencies cannot go unpunished. And I find that fascinating because, to me, the whole U.N. would be in that category, would it not? And the whole U.N. would be corrupt as all get out if we use that measuring stick. I believe the U.N. is corrupt as could be right now. And there's actually a petition being floated around the internet now to try to get out of the United Nations and or at least decrease its funding substantially. I support that effort. I, too, want to have the truth with regards to this. Sign the petition to slash UN funding. Would you sign a petition to slash UN funding? Will Donald really get rid of UN funding? I don't know, but I sure pray so. Right? And that's something that we need done for sure. Sign the petition to slash UN funding. Would you sign that? I would. I certainly would. I think the United Nations is a corrupt organization fleecing the United States taxpayer. Well, the UN official says, hey, you know, disastrous is corruption by aid agencies. That cannot go unpunished. But what about the corruption of the UN in general? I just find it interesting. But I support slashing UN funding big time every chance I get. And I hope you do as well, my fellow Americans. This is something that shouldn't be taken lightly. In my opinion, this is where we really need to kind of get involved and understand what's happening and find ways for a solution. And the solution is, A, why are we giving this guy, a special privilege anyway? So anyway, there you have that. When I say special guy, you know, you're talking about this UN official who is basically saying, hey, these aid agencies cannot go unpunished. Well, what about him? What about this guy? What about this leader? I find that the individuals are corrupt as well at the United Nations and other places. So I don't want to give a pass to this guy. What I really want to do is to get out of the United Nations, though. I don't understand why we're there in the first place. I don't think the UN does our bidding. And I don't know, you know, I mean, for example, U.S. may still be funding Afghan ghost soldiers. Well, is that part of the United Nations? I mean, you know, Michael knew back in the day, 30 years ago when we talked about it a lot, he was the guy that stood up and said, I don't want to serve the United Nations. They barbecued him for it, the United States government. All we've done is expanded the program from there, right? It looks like to me. So anyway, I found that fascinating. But there is, they signed the petition to slash UN funding. So we'll see what happens there. There's another article that I found quite interesting. It's this. Federal Energy Program suggests keeping your thermostat at 78 degrees while you're awake and 82 degrees while you're asleep. Now, I'm just telling you right now, for me, 78 during the day in my office where I work or at my home where my family is every day, and 82 degrees while I sleep, I just can't take it. I just, you know, I leave my house at 74 all the time in the summer, and I cool it down to 74. Now, in the winter, I usually have my house thermostat set at 70 or 71, maybe sometimes 72 if it's super cold outside. But I never have my thermostat 80 or 78, 80, 82. That's just way, way too hot. But again, this is what they're pushing for. And I assume if we don't obey, then their next tactic as far as I can stand, will probably force us to keep our energy, our thermostats at that rate. And if we can't regulate it ourselves, they'll oblige and find somebody who will on our behalf. Anything else on that, Kurt? All right. Well, we'll work on getting Kurt back here. In the meantime, Donald Trump was talking about a payroll tax cut a day after the White House denies it. And this is what I find interesting about the Trump administration. Most administrations, as right or wrong as they may be on a given topic, you don't see a lot of, infighting. And with Trump, you do see a lot of this. And I don't know if it's just that he's more of an amateur, he's not really a government long lifer, whatever word you want to use. He's not really a politician. He's just a guy that happened to have won for the most part. But Trump says that he's thinking about a payroll tax cut a day after the White House denies it. And this is what I'm talking about. So Donald's for the cut. The White House is saying, no, we're not doing that. What's the truth, Donald? What's the truth, White House? And I support tax cuts, folks. I really do. However, I don't support tax cuts if we're not going to double down and address the underlying issues. Why are we saying it's a bad deal for families to have Netflix? And someone would say, well, I haven't been saying that. No, I know you haven't, but you know what? We have to decide. What are we going to fund? What are we going to do, right? And when you have Donald Trump saying one thing and his administration denying it or saying something else, or the White House denying it, you've got kind of a conundrum, as far as I can tell, because it's very hard for people to know what we're really talking about, what we're really willing to do, what we want to be the outcome. And I get that you might say, well, Sam, it's a fresh debate. People haven't had conjugate their thoughts on it, put their thoughts together on it. I get it. But I also get that we've got to speak up boldly, quickly, on a lot of these topics. Donald, I want to know. Are we looking at a payroll tax cut? And a White House, is Donald thinking about that? And if you're denying it, he's saying that he is, who's telling the truth? Will the real truther, stand up? Because I want to know. And I don't really like the way people try to manipulate this. But if we're going to have a tax cut or any other kind of tax cut, we better cut spending there in relation to. If we don't, I don't believe that the cuts will have any long-lasting effect. It'll just be temporary by nature. And I want it to be long-lasting. I want it to be consistent. I want it to work well. And I want to cut taxes and cut expenditures so that we can eventually back into the proper role of limited constitutional government. And I guess nurses in a Florida clinic are in the news as well. They alleged that they would be fired for speaking Spanish on the job. I don't know if anybody has seen this story or not. And, you know, part of the problem is that patients can't understand what's being said about them. A lot of the other physicians that don't speak Spanish might not be aware of what's happening. So I understand. Not really for firing people. It seems like we could sit down and talk about the reasons for things and do a whole lot better. All right. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby in second.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
With you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. We got Kirk back now. Internet issues causing trouble all over the place. So, Kirk, I talked about several different stories here, and I wanted to give you a chance to comment on some of them. Energy program says keep your house at 78-82 while you're sleeping. You want to comment on that one?
Well, yeah, Sam. I kind of thought that you were supposed to be able to just put your temperature and what you want your temperature to be. But we were warned about this a while back with these so-called smart meters or smart, I don't know what they call them for sure, but these deals to make sure just in case there was a, you know, increased usage in some area that we had a way to kind of cut down people's usage so we didn't have these brownouts and blackouts. But, you know, it goes so much to the solution of, you know, we don't need centralized control of these things. We need independent power and these type of things. But anyway, that's at least that hasn't been happening on your temperature thing, has it?
No, sir. I set mine at 74 in the summer, buddy, and cool that sucker down. 70, 71 in the winter, and heat that sucker up every year, solid as a rock, buddy.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, Donald Trump says he's thinking about a payroll tax cut, but the White House denies it the day before. I pray we get a tax cut, and I pray we cut expenses to match it, Kurt.
Yeah, and just imagine, he points out at the same time it's a recession discussion about the whole economy and that kind of thing. He points out that President Obama had during his term basically, you know, zero or very little interest rates, and the Federal Reserve has just raised those rates quite a bit with President Trump. And so he says, hey, it's not fair. I'm playing with you know, increased interest rates, and President Obama didn't have to, and he did tax, you know, did some tax cutting and that kind of thing. Yet, if we even talk about it now, they just say it's a recession. And he just says the deck's not stacked properly, and he's right, but he should go further and just say, hey, man, we got to get rid of this whole Fed Reserve thing in the first place. But,
amen to that.
That
what about these? What about these nurses speaking Spanish on the job? Think they might get fired, Kurt?
Well, you know, I mean, I see that so often now, Sam, where you just you have these multiple languages, especially Spanish, being spoken in so many areas now, and I guess in this case, they just basically had a some people that were just kind of ticked off at it, and there are many people that feel like when somebody's speaking a language they can't understand that they're talking about them.
Even though oftentimes that's not really the case, that's just a feeling you get, and especially in the medical world when your life or your health or things are critically at stake. I understand it, and I understand and think we should, as much of a universal language as we can, which in America would be English, Kurt.
Well, that's right. And you know, many times, at least when I'm around Spanish speakers and I hear them speaking when others are speaking English, I think a lot of it's simply because of what they're more comfortable in using, just like we would if we were, you know, in some foreign land and we knew a little bit of their language, but, you know, we wanted to converse. And so, you know, a lot of that has to do with that, I think. But there are people that are ticked off about it. And thus you see the whole build the wall movement, right?
Yes, sir. All right, we're in a mixed up world, Kurt, as well. Touch football sold as safer, now requires a helmet, sir.
Well, yeah, I think this is all part of the whole, mixed up world we live in. We've got the liberals that think that, man, every baby pretty much ought to have the right to be aborted. So that means killed in my book. And yet the same people will almost fight to the death about making sure you're safe in a car seat or something else. And I just don't get it, because if they're so that pro killing babies, you'd think they'd be for extending it out on anybody. They'd be celebrating a mass shooting with guns, et cetera.
Yeah, you'd almost think the delight in football games is to hurt everybody, right?
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem to make any sense, but I kind of kid with some people and say, well, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't even have seatbelts, and yet now, it wouldn't surprise me if pretty soon the government told you you had to have a full body helmet and everything else when you're driving a car, you know. Anyway, we've come a long way there, haven't we?
Sad but true, and I get that, you know, things get rougher and people get tougher and, you know, people need protection. But, you know, that's kind of why you wonder some of these sports, you know, how violent should they get? And then who should be the one to say yay or nay on the sport? You know, I think families can say yay or nay just fine without the federal government or anybody else needing to be involved. And when you say requires a helmet, I think a helmet's a good idea. But I don't know about this required thing. We want to be required to do everything, it seems like, these days. All right, Brazil's in the news. Kind of an interesting twist. Created almost, Bible-esque or something.
Well, yeah, Sam. I'm trying to remember which story this is, especially since I'm having trouble finding it on any of the stories that I sent with the internet problem.
No, but this is Brazil. Sudden darkness. Sao Paulo baffles thousands. This is biblical-esque, Kurt. It's not Biden, it's the Bible.
Yeah, good point. But in this case, you know, it's one more of those power stories where you have these massive grids and these big monopolies in charge of things. And how much better would it be if you had those individual, at least towns and cities or areas or even homes where they had their own power and they didn't rely on some big, grid or centralized operation, right?
That's what we need, but, you know, I don't really see that happening anytime soon for me, but, you know.
Good point.
It's a good point. That's what we need for sure. All right, Kurt wants to hear about America's priciest listing sells at a foreclosure auction.
Yeah, at least this is something that I see coming to California in a big way, but that's just me guessing. In this case, Sam, apparently this thing had been, up for sale, this particular house, just trying to find it, but reading about it was pretty amazing. The priciest listing just never got sold, and so now it's at a foreclosure auction, and this they say the mountain in Beverly Hills sold to its lender for $100,000. That, by the way, they say was far less than the $200 million asking price, that was said to be outstanding on the property. So going from $200 million outstanding to being sold for $100,000. I think if California continues on its normal, I guess, what it's been doing, you're going to see more and more of this in California, don't you think?
I think you're right, Kurt. What I find fascinating about this is, you know, people tend to believe things are worth what they're worth because someone said they're worth that, right? And one of the things that Kurt's always brought up on the radio, and I concur with him completely, is this. Let me ask you, you know, if they say this is the priciest listing, but yet it sells at foreclosure auction, they want $1 billion, but then they sold for its lender for $100,000. That's way less than the $200 million set to be outstanding on the property. You're going to go, okay, well, what is it worth, Kurt? And you want the answer?
Well, I think it was worth $100,000. That's what they sold.
That's right. That's exactly what it's worth, Kurt. And by the way, all the appraisal companies that are professionals in the world would agree with you.
I mean, that's just how you figure it out. It seems like, you know, Sam, if you want to know what something's worth, now it's true. You could say, well, you know, somebody else might have paid more, but they didn't, Sam. They sold that sucker for 100 G's, and they said they were asking a billion to 100 G's. That's quite a big discount, if you will, Sam.
Yeah, still more than I can afford.
A billion is, let's see, 1,000 million. So, and the million is 1,000,000. So I think 100,000 is quite a discount over a billion. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a pretty good negotiating by somebody there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was really.
I mean, I look at that and I just go, And usually, you know, these numbers aren't so far apart. Usually they say, oh, you got to take a 30% haircut, or you got to take a 40% haircut on something. And I just kind of wonder, when you're asking $1 billion and then you sell that sucker for $100,000, that's less than the $200 million said to be outstanding on the property already. You know, how do these numbers get so off the charts, off the map? Crazy.
Yeah.
And they're not even,
you know,
close.
You got 5 zeros in 100,000. You've got 9 zeros in a billion, Sam. So you know it's quite a discount. But I think if California continues to do what they've been doing, you know, with the crazy environmental stuff and the crazy tax deals that they do and stuff, you're going to see more and more open ground in California until maybe the last person leaves and says, just turn the lights out, baby, you know.
Well, and in some of these places, Kurt, what they've done is they basically felt like, let's just destroy the whole buildings. Let somebody build renew because we've lost our tax base. We've exploited our tax base so hard it's not even sustainable. Let's just start over. And they literally just tear down buildings and rebuild them with this in mind, saying, okay, maybe we can get a bigger tax piece of the pie that way.
Well, that's right. You know, I mean, you see these whole areas in some big cities that are just basically empty, and you know, I guess they could just clean them off and start over, like you say.
Well, you know what my advice would be, Kurt? Don't go to New York.
Amen to that.
Don't go to California. Go to what they call flyover country. You'll actually get a deal in California. You might not actually lose your shirt on those deals. All right, 2 hours in the can. Sorry, it's been a little bit of a bumpy road. Internet difficulties for Kurt and Sam on the road. It's been kind of rough. I'm running on no sleep, too, so I'll get some sleep. And got a few rebroadcasts of some incredible shows for you. We'll be live throughout the next few days while I'm out of town taking care of some business. And then, of course, back live as always on Liberty Roundtable Live. Donate today if you have the heart to help. Every penny will grow our presence in the media. We greatly appreciate it. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio and donations and more. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore Grand Old Republic. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.